Hello and welcome back to more verse by verse Bible teaching. This is an outreach ministry of the Wash and Word hand car wash business. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria and a handful of quality helpers, we are the owners and operators of the hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we opened up this business for the sole purpose of getting God's Word out into the public. And we do this by transmitting our sermons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through a small transmitter that you can listen to on 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot. So if you could just, if you just find yourself in this parking lot for any reason in particular, whether you're over there tanning at the tanning bed or eating your pal's dinner in your car or at the library or Holston Medical Group or just waiting in line to get your car washed, you can tune to 107.1 FM 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because we believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is not only important in the life of a believer, but it's absolutely vital that we adhere to and we listen to and we obey all of God's Word. And so this is why we do verse by verse. We don't believe that we should cherry pick His Word. I think that we should teach it all the way it was meant to be taught, and that's in its fullness and in its entirety. And this is why we started this ministry and this business. So we are self-supportive. If you believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is vitally needed in today's society, you can support us. We don't want your money or your tithes or your gifts. We simply ask to support us by coming here and allowing us to wash your vehicle. And we earn the money that it takes to keep this business alive. And we do this because we believe, like Paul, that the Word of God should be settled and not peddled. And that's our kind of our motto here. We adhere also to the scripture that says that in all things, do them for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And so we wash cars for God's glory. If you missed any of our messages, you can get them. You can hear them originally aired on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. And you can go to the washandword.com website, and there you can hear and download for free all of our archive messages. That's wash, letter N, word.com. All right, let's get back into it. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're about to start chapter 13. Many of you know this to be known as the love chapter, the love chapter. And so Paul begins in, 13 verse 1 is actually a continuation of the last verse in chapter 12. And many of your Bibles are separated with subheadings. And so really the last part of the last verse in chapter 12 reads like this: "And now I will show you the most excellent way." And so if you combine that with the first part of verse 31 of chapter 12, it says this: "But eagerly desire the greater gifts." So what happened here is Paul is, he just prior to this in verse chapter 12, he gave a short list of different giftings that were to be present within the body of believers. And these giftings were not labeled as, you know, in order of importance or priority or which one's better. Yet at the same time, he ends in verse 31, "but eagerly desire the greater gifts." And we talked about what that meant in our last message. Again, if you want to get that, go to the washandword.com website. You can download it there. But so let's look at verse 31, chapter 12. It reads like this: "But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way." And not to recap all the last message, but the greatest gift of all is love. It's love. In fact, anytime you find a listing of spiritual gifts in the Bible, they're all basically, they flow out of the singular gift of love. And if our starting point is love, everything that comes from that is going to be a gift of greater importance. And so he goes on here in verse 1, continues in verse 1, chapter 13. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Let me stop right there. Has anyone out there ever been to a musical or an orchestra or a symphony or some type of a musical production? And has anyone ever heard a cymbal go off, you know, on a drum set? It can add a lot of extra little flair in the background, that cymbal sound. Even a gong or a bell properly placed within a sonnet sounds really good. It's like ding, you know, or tsh, you know, and you get these different sounds all coming together, and that's what makes beautiful music. But could you imagine if you went to and paid a high price for some symphony, orchestra, or opera, and all that did was they rolled out a cymbal and a guy with a wand, you know, a wooden stick, and he just sit there and just banged on the cymbal. And he just kept hitting it, and that's all he did. Or took out a gong or a bell, and just bang, 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 dong, dong, dong. I mean, the idea, Paul's trying to be ridiculous here. He's trying to say, look, it doesn't matter what gift I have, it doesn't matter what gift you have, if we do not exude those gifts in love, then, friends, it's nothing more than just a bunch of noise. And he equates that with the speaking in tongues, because it's a speaking gift. Therefore, he's using the a sound, because what we hear, you know, we hear someone speaking in tongues or even speaking a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge. But they're not doing it in love. They're doing it in condemnation. They're doing it in judgment. They're doing it to try to make themselves feel better. Again, what we're hearing isn't a word from God from that person. No, we're hearing a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong. And he goes on, he says, and if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. What is Paul doing here? He's setting up all of the, what he called in verse 31, greater gifts, and he's putting them against the backdrop of love, and he's saying that without the inclusion of love, nay, without the origination of love, they have to start there. They have to, you can't just add love to make the gift work. They have to start from love. That would be like trying to bake bread and only adding flour after it's already been baked. You can't even have bread without flour. So the flour must be included at the beginning in order for the bread to even become bread. And that's what he's saying about the gifts. He says, without love as the foundation, there are no gifts. There are no gifts. You may think you have a gift of preaching, but if you're preaching for the sake or for the joy and the accolades that people will, that was such a great sermon, Pastor, or, you know, you're seeking the approval of men, not for the sake of getting God's word out there. That's why we started this car wash, you know, and it's not to brag, but we wanted the world to know that we're here. We exist because we love the Word of God, and it's so important to us. It is so important to us that we're willing to work extremely hard, doing a really difficult job in extreme heat, extreme cold. Last winter, we tried washing cars in 28-degree weather, and every time we rinsed the car off, the wind would come and it would freeze the water, and you know we had to shut down that day. But I mean, we tried at least. And why? Because we want you to know that we love the Word of God, and we want it to touch people's lives. And if we have to wear out our bodies, if we have to do work in unfavorable conditions for the sake of the Word of God, then so be it. Because listen, nothing is going to change you or change this world like the full counsel of God's Word. Paul goes on, if I give all that I possess to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flames, that is, just give sacrifice his own life for the sake of the gospel, but he does it without love. Paul says, I gain nothing. So even the motivation for doing what we're doing, if it does not begin, if the genesis of our motivation, of our service, even our martyrdom, doesn't begin with love, it's useless. And now Paul goes on to what we call, you've probably heard this mostly at weddings. This loves to be recited at weddings. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. We're in verse 4. It does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Let's stop right there. I can go over each of these individually, but, my listeners aren't uneducated. You understand. Yeah, here I use the word uneducated. I was going to say stupid, but I'm trying to be more of a jet. My wife wants me to be more gentle in the words that I use. It's hard, though, because when you preach God's word and you want it to be powerful and you want to preach the whole thing, sometimes my zeal gets away from me, but you're more educated than that. I don't have to go over what patience and kindness and, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, doesn't proud. You understand what that means, right? Love is just out there seeking the best for somebody else. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. He's continuing here now, verse 6. Love does not delight in evil. What else, Paul? Well, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. You see what Paul just did there? He made a contrast between what in that day and time was considered the greater gifts versus the platform of love. He says, you can have your greater gifts. You can speak a word of knowledge. You can speak into the lives of another person. You can have the gift of tongues and of prophecies, but he says they will cease. They will one day cease to be. They will be still. They will pass away. But love never fails. That's verse 8. That's how verse 8 starts off. Love never fails. And he goes on. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then shall we see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Well, we just did something I've never done in these 15-minute teachings, and that's go through an entire chapter. And the reason I did that is because chapter 13, I could do 13 weeks on chapter 13. Or we can do like kind of what we did just today. We understand what we read. Paul, this is not a complicated chapter. It really all goes back to you. It goes back to us. What are we going to do with the gifts that we have been given? What are we going to do with the Savior we have put our faith in? See, the world, love just gets tossed around out there. The word hardly means anything anymore. But when we focus on the true origin of love, which was Jesus Christ dying for us, then everything that comes from that will be in line with God. I'll encourage you to continue coming back and listening to these sermons because, you know what, when the Word of God goes forward, there is power. And this is what we are trying to do. We're trying to bring power into a world that is filled with darkness, that has all but squelched the truth of God's Word. If you appreciate what we're doing here, come by the Washing Word, support our business. I want to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road on Sundays at 6 o'clock. That's when I do my verse by verse Bible teaching.
Have a blessed day.